We're in the top of the ninth, leading 10-7. Bases loaded, two down. And Rick Vaughn has come on to try and nail it down against Felipe Aguilar, a dangerous right-handed batter. Here's the pitch. Oh, shit.
All right. Welcome back. It's Jay Stu. Happy to be podcasting for the first time since May. And I'm happy to be here over the phone with my good friend Colin. How's it going, sir?
It is going just fine. What's on the agenda tonight, Jay Stu?
I should wish you a happy 18th anniversary of the Colin Hay album, Man at Work.
Yeah, I read that whole big write-up. That was something. In fact, upon reading that, I downloaded the Beacon Valley's album.
Oh, wow. Again.
That and Fierce Mercy, which is like my favorite Colin Hay album.
Yeah, it made me feel a bit old because I actually remember going into a store in the States 18 years ago when Man at Work was brand new and buying it.
Couldn't buy it because the album cover looked like he had his head snapped off on the fucking cover. I couldn't stand it. Do you remember that?
Where
his
I do.
Left and he has that lazy eye in it. So it was like a really bad Mr. Dress-Up Lost It on Casey.
Yeah.
And just snapped his neck. I didn't like it at all.
No, it's a decent album, though. He basically redid a lot of his own stuff on that album. From what I remember.
You gotta dig up the CDs to get the Colin Hay Band album, right? Because you can't find that anywhere now. Like the original, you know what I mean, with Wayfaring Sons and
yeah.
The Storm.
Yeah, that's the only one not on Spotify.
Yeah. Great album.
Oh, I love that album.
Remember when we didn't know if it was him or not? Wait, Colin Hay. Remember Sam the Record Man?
Yeah, I found it by accident when I was looking for Corey Hart.
Oh, those were the days.
Yeah. Not knowing when stuff was coming out.
No. Back when you could run discus and have that as a job, eh?
Oh,
that was like the best job you ever had, isn't it?
It was up there.
Yeah.
Every Tuesday we would get like leaflets from all the record companies that would tell you what was coming out.
Nice.
So yeah, it's like I knew about. I remember in particular knowing about River of Dreams about 4 months in advance and. Some sort of Michael Nesmith album that was coming out that year.
And, the play copies too, right?
Yeah, the record companies would send us play copies, and it was up to the store whether or not they wanted to play them or not. Like 90% of the time, they didn't.
True. Yeah.
But I got to hear "Bat Out of Hell" too about 900 times in 1 week.
That's awesome.
Yes.
I just went to a bunch of stuff. I don't even remember this place. If you remember this guy, I used to go talk to him all the time. I'm trying to remember what his name is. It'll come to me, just not now. Remember UCD place downtown called Station to Station?
Yeah.
Okay. So when I used to go in there, it was this dude and his, like, mom that ran that place. She was like, church mom, seven, complete with the bandana and the brown sweater over the blouse and the skirt. They were cool people, though. They were nice. But I got, you know Billy Joe Shaver, right? Well, you know him from Norm MacDonald, but he's a pretty big outlaw. But anyway, he couldn't get any of his vinyl over here at all. And when I went, Nikolai, that was his name, Nikolai, Station to Station. He had a bunch of Billy Joe Shaver play copies that were in Nashville. The radio station didn't use, but somebody like stole them, and then they sold them. So he sold them to me. So I just gave them to one of the guys I work with, actually, and said, "You won't find these anywhere on Spotify or anything." But yeah, you know what? That's the thing. You can't find all the good shit like you think you could.
Yeah. No, I was just about to say, going back to Station to Station. After a while, that was the only place you could find any big country albums after 1993.
Yes, they even had the 12-inch plays there.
Yeah, I purchased a big country live album from there where they covered "I'm on Fire" by Springsteen and "Rockin' in the Free World" by Neil Young.
Oh, cool. Was that before Stuart Adamson killed himself, or
No, this was before. Yeah, it was before. I was living downtown at the time, and once in a while, there used to be a ton of stores in the St. Paul Street area where you could go and buy, you know, UCDs and shit like that, and I would go down there.
That fucking doctor disc and all that shit.
Yep.
That's where I got my, the Bare Naked Ladies cassette. We don't even have a contract tape.
Doctor disc?
Yeah, that's where I got it.
Can I tell you the funniest thing that I remember you grabbing from there, and you'll probably remember this?
Was it a Shakin' Stevens album?
No, funnier than that. Do you remember they had that box of albums in the front of the store that was, we don't want these, take them?
Yeah.
Do you remember you grabbed the soundtrack for Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band?
Oh, the one with the Bee Gees?
The Bee Gees and Peter Frampton and Steve Martin.
George Burns?
Yeah.
Yes.
That was awesome.
You know what song I was, do you remember this one? Because I just seem to remember, like, the words to every song. But it jumped into my head the other day, and it was, Friday night, it was late, it was walking you home, we got down to the gate, and I was dreaming of the night. Do you remember that song?
I'm sorry if this is wrong, but is it Reminiscing by the Little River Band?
You got it, buddy.
Thanks, brother.
You got it. I love doing those. And nobody falls for it at work. I just do all this stuff, and I, you know.
Hurry, don't be late. I can hardly wait.
Hurry, don't be late. That's right. You know who I download? I downloaded like 6 songs by Ambrosia.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, but you don't realize that, you know. I wonder if I have it on my old phone here. Hold on. Maybe I don't. Hey, Ambrosia. You remember, that's how much I feel for you, baby. Yeah. And then, You're the Only Woman. Yeah, there's that one. And Baby, take away the biggest part of me. And then I just want to be here. Oh, Shadow Dancing. Look at that. By Andy Gidd.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Hey, I found out this week that something you told me that we were kind of guessing on actually was true. The reason that Four Chords and Several Years Ago is not on Spotify is because of all the songwriter rights for all the old songs.
Right. Yeah, I can see that.
So that being said, cool that they got Soulville on there.
Well, it is, and they must have worked through that. But, I mean, I've got all the original copies of all the covers that Huey Lewis and the News did on Spotify, too.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Hollywood Flames and Big Joe Turner and, the Screaming Jay Hawkins doing Itty Bitty Pretty One.
Yeah.
And, like, all those ones that they covered, I've got the originals of, too. Mm-hmm. And they're available, but you can get them off a Huey playlist, but I don't think they'll let his version of them go by, so.
Yeah. That was too bad. That was a good album. I had to look it up on YouTube.
Get the songwriters. That's what I did. I went through Huey's playlist. It wasn't called Soulsville, but I was looking at Bruce's playlist today too. He had a playlist for, I don't know, sad songs or something. There's a few Tracy Chapman songs on. A lot of Sharday.
Oh,
I can't stand fucking Sharday.
No.
So I didn't download that.
My dad loved Sharday.
Oh, yeah, he liked that fucking Kenny G and shit too.
Yeah.
Yeah, can we listen to David Wilcox? No.
No, we have to listen to this music you hear at the dentist office.
All the places we used to be able to shop for records. Remember Peter Dutton's Vinyl Museum in Toronto?
Yeah.
Didn't you buy the Billy Joel interview LP there?
Yeah, it was a record. I did some research. It was a record he put out at radio stations in the 70s.
Okay.
So, the one side was interview, and the other side was a concert he did in 1976. I think I still have it somewhere.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah, it was a concert he did at a college.
Right.
Yeah.
I remember some of the albums, you and I would be like treasure hunting, and I think we probably got a little wood when we found some of the albums we did in Toronto.
Oh, yeah.
Or when I got Clover.
Yeah.
Best of Clover on vinyl.
Mm-hmm.
And, there were a few albums there that I just really was happy to get my hands on. Yeah, those were the days. And they're slowly coming back. There's certain things I want on vinyl, like I'm picking up my Huey on vinyl.
Yeah.
And I'm picking up Crowded House. Like, I want, you know what I can't find, and I really want to find a used copy of it, is Frenzy by Slippin' Ends.
Right.
In 78, because it's got his version of Stuff and Nonsense on there, and that's one of my favorite songs, but I only have it on tape.
Yeah.
And you can't find it on Spotify unless it's the Eddie Vedder singing it version.
Yeah, from that live album they did.
Yeah. Seven Worlds Collide one.
Yeah.
Yeah, so. Anyway, but you can listen to it on YouTube. And
yeah, oh no.
I really like it. It's really nice, really kind of rougher young Neil Finn, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, so there was a picture that both, it was on Huey, because I follow him on Instagram, too, and they showed a picture of Huey today, and it was, said, cool is the rule.
Yeah.
And it was a black and white shot, and I wanted to send you a picture and go, wait a minute, they're coming back down. it looked just like the Die Hard clip, eh? Like,
oh, jeez, yeah, the guy that looks like you, Huey Lewis.
Yeah, that was some good times.
I got $50 bet on those assholes.
Yeah, then, pal, fuck this shit. I'm going to go make an Urkel show that is Twinkies.
Oh, fuck. Oh, you know what movie I revisited for the first time since 1993?
Yeah, right.
Maybe you'll remember this. It's a movie you had me watch at your house.
Okay.
And I totally forgot about it. I'll give you a little bit of the background to how I came across it. So I reconnected with this guy, Jeff. I used to work with at KFC Ontario Street.
Okay.
And he kept bringing up this Charlie Sheen movie from the 90s called Terminal Velocity.
Okay.
And I had watched it back then, but I didn't really remember it.
Right.
And it's a pretty decent movie. It's an action movie, and I rewatched it, and it was decent. And then while I was watching it, I was like, wait a minute. Colin got me into a Charlie Sheen movie in the 90s as well. And I went to the IMDb. Do you remember Beyond the Law?
Yeah.
The one where he's a cop and he infiltrates, like, the biker gang?
People piss on his jacket.
Yeah. We watched that. Fantastic movie still, by the way.
I love that movie.
Yeah. Yeah, it was great.
Yeah, Beyond the Law. You look pretty cool with the beard, too.
The beard and the long hair and the jacket beard with the pee on it.
Smell of piss.
Yeah.
Yeah, because from there I went on the other movie I liked that he did was The Rookie with Clint Eastwood.
Yeah, we watched that together, too, because remember we did the whole we had the Clint Eastwood thing we went through?
Yeah, we did that, so we watched that. And then the one that I liked, but nothing ever became, remember Men at Work?
I saw that, too, recently. It's not as funny as we remember.
No? Okay.
No, I was disappointed.
Poor Emilio Estevez.
Yeah.
Joe Estevez would have really helped that plot a lot.
Or Don Swayze.
And Frank Stallone, of course.
Or that movie we used to see at the video store with Jay Leno and Pat Morita.
Morita, yep. they must have made... You know how much money they've got paid for that? Hundreds.
Yeah.
Hundreds.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sorry we couldn't get Fred Dreyer.
Oh, yeah, so I watched Beyond the Law, which is still good if you ever get a chance to see it.
Yeah, but I still got it on VHS, so you know.
Yeah, So I watched that, and then you caught me the other night while I was watching The Hard Way for the first time in 20 years.
Oh, I love that movie.
Yeah.
So I've dropped the band, that's not the hard drop.
Yeah, it's too bad you're off the case.
Yeah, I've heard you're off the case. I love when he's doing the part two and it's just like, but why are you always, don't you take that tone with me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love Michael J. Fox. He really is.
Yeah, me too.
And the Party Crasher.
Yeah.
I miss Party Crasher.
Yeah.
I'm about to crash another party.
Crash, crash, crash. Yeah, it was still cool after 30 years. I only like two James Woods movies, man.
Which is the other one?
Digstown.
Okay, yeah, Digstown. Yeah. I've got an old rock Comfort Files episode where he shows he's like 21 years old, covered in pimples.
Oh, jeez.
Comfort Files episode, fucking awesome.
Oh, wow.
I love the Comfort Files. James Garner was the shit.
Yes.
You know, you gotta admit, you like that show.
There's a great director by the name of Richard Donner who recently passed away.
Lethal Weapon
and Superman, and he did Maverick.
Right.
So I hadn't seen that one in forever, so I threw that on, and it's still pretty great. And James Gardner.
James Gardner. Jodie Foster, who's always hot.
Waylon Jennings. I forgot he got thrown off the boat, and Uncle Jesse.
Denver Pyle.
Yeah.
Hal Ketchum. Yeah. Danny Glover.
That still made me laugh. And the dude from the beginning of Raiders of the Lost Ark that had all the spiders on him.
And James Covert is the Commodore.
Yep.
You shot my shoots. Just me.
Oh, it was Payback. That's a great movie, too, still.
Braveheart never gave up. Payback never gave up.
Oh, shit.
And Chris Christopherson's great line. If you return my boy to me, you won't have to find out what your right nut tastes are.
Yeah. I've watched that one during the pandemic, too.
I love Christopherson. He's great.
Yeah.
No, I want to do this. We got to do this in person. This is bullshit.
August. We'll do August for sure.
Okay, we'll do it. Yeah, we'll do it as soon as we can. I'm off for the next 2 weeks.
Cool.
Actually, I don't know what your situation's like, but I'm willing to fucking do it again in a week. I'm not on vacation. Come over or something.
We can figure something out.
Have a few drinks so I'm not holding a phone while I'm talking. Yeah. You know, stay 6 feet apart. I can make a little food, a little pasta.
Oh, shit.
How about you and me in a nice cold breeze?
Let's take a quick break.
Mr. Destiny. I loved him in Mr. Destiny.
You know what? I've watched that in recent years, too, and that one's still great.
It's a great movie.
Yeah.
I love it.
That's
love
another movie you got me into back in the day.
Really? Son of a bitch, but you're gonna I love that little fucking old guy. Yeah, no, it was a great movie,
And then
I told you I watched Kung Ho with Thomas not that long ago.
Oh, wow, how'd that hold up for you?
Holy shit, I think it could be done yesterday.
Oh,
it was still so funny. I love Michael Keaton.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
And you know he's playing Batman for the first time in 30 years.
Yes, I do know that.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yeah. Oh, what are the, we heard about him on the Spider-Man set, eh?
Oh, well, what do you do on the Spider-Man set?
He just kept saying, I'm Batman all the time.
Oh, jeez, yeah.
And they kept giving him shit, and he's like laughing. He goes, that's awesome, I love Michael Keaton. He's just like, kept going, I'm Batman. Yeah. That's a good time. No, Michael Keaton's so underrated.
Yeah.
Did I tell you I watched Night Shift again?
No, but I imagine that one's still good. Oh, you did tell me, because you were telling me Henry Winkler lines.
He will play golf with God. That's awesome. Yeah. A young, fresh-faced Michael Keaton. That never gets old.
No, I love Michael Keaton.
Multiplicity rank on one of your favorites?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that one's great. I didn't
notice till later on, like in later years, that when he was Batman, they made his mask in such a way that he couldn't turn his head.
Oh.
So if you watch those movies now, he's always punching people from the side and not moving his head.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Actually, I remember that.
Though. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, he's a great actor. I love Keaton, man.
Loved him during his dark phase.
Yeah.
Pacific Heights.
Yes.
The one I never want to watch again is My Life. That was depressing.
Yeah. No, I'm good with that. It was a good movie, but I don't need to see it again.
You don't have to see it. We don't want Michael Caine to die. Oh, Clean and Sober. I can live without watching that again, too.
Yeah, same here.
It was good. Oh, that's what I wanted to tell you. Have you ever heard of Michael Connelly?
Sounds familiar.
American author. He's a couple of his movies have been made. Inspired some movies. Lincoln Lawyer?
Okay.
Have you heard of that?
I've heard of it. I've never seen it.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. But anyway, he's like a cop, you know, writer kind of thing. So he has this whole series of books, like about 30 books long, based on this one detective named Harry Bosch, right?
Okay.
So I've read a bunch of them, and they're pretty good. But Linda and I started watching it on TV, like the TV series, which is called Bosch.
And okay, I think I've heard of it.
All sorts of cool people have shown up on there, like, maybe you won't think they're cool, but Matthew Lillard.
Right.
Okay, you know him from Scooby-Doo?
Yeah, and other stuff.
He played Shaggy, a lot of stuff, and yeah, so anyway, he's a what you think is a drug dealer, but he turns out to be an undercover cop, and also you get an old version of Roger Lococo.
Oh, jeez.
He showed up on there, and also we've got, who else? Roger Lococo, the other, who else showed up on there? You would have loved it, though. It was old school. I'm like, I always want to call you and go, hey, look, old brother, Roger Lococo. Because we were watching a show called, I don't know if I told you about it, called, Prodigal Son?
Right.
Did I tell you about this already?
I don't think so.
Anyway, really, really cool idea for a show. This kid's father is found to be a serial killer. He killed like 23 people. Mm-hmm. Anyway, once he gets put away in prison, the kid starts to become an advisor to a police force studying and profiling serial killers.
Okay.
So it's a really great show, but the main cop in is Lou Diamond Phillips, eh?
Oh, okay.
And he plays a really, really good part in it. And, but it's done now, actually. I guess they just ended it on a really, really stupid way, but it made me want to watch La Bamba and, like, all those old Lou Diamond Phillips Young Guns and shit that we used to watch. Like,
yeah.
I like Lou Diamond Phillips.
Yeah, I was thinking about watching Young Guns and Young Guns 2 just because I got on a mini Charlie Sheen kick lately.
Yeah, well, you know, it's just funny to see how people age. Like, I don't know, like, how those movies hold up. Like, I'll probably watch Outliners again, too, at some point.
Do you remember the movie he did with Kiefer, Renegades?
Yes.
That was a good one, too.
That was a good movie, yeah. Yeah, I wonder if I could find that somewhere. Lynn and I could watch it.
Shit, I used to have that on videotape.
I've got it on videotape somewhere. I just didn't want to go there.
Kiefer had a terrible mustache in it.
He had a terrible mustache in it. Like, if I had gone that far, I'd pull up There Goes the Neighborhood to watch on VHS tonight.
There you go.
Love that movie.
Yeah, I've been just trying to rediscover movies I haven't watched in a long time, and Beyond the Law was a cool one to see after all this time. I've been watching a lot of Nash Bridges.
Yeah, well, I don't have any of that stuff, eh? I'd love to.
Yeah, I don't know. I've only ever seen the show all the way through once before recently. When it was originally on, I liked it, but it was like in the 90s when we were hanging out on Fridays all the time.
Yeah.
So I didn't really see a lot of them originally, but I just saw last night the episode where Evan shot his ball off.
Nice.
I'm waiting for that line. I'm going to laugh so hard. You brought up Roger Lococo. He was on that show, too. By the way, I don't think I've ever called him William Russ.
No, I haven't either. I recognized the name and just went Roger Lococo.
Roger Lococo.
Okay, Buckwheat.
Yeah.
You know what I'm in the mood to watch, but I don't have any of them on DVD, is I'd like to watch some, because I know you collect some of this stuff. I would like to borrow, like, DVD copies, if you have any, of some cool live performances of some of our favorite artists. I'd even go shaking with the animals. but...
Oh, well, let me tell you right now, because I'm in front of my DVDs, which I never watch, but I have them on a shelf. You still there?
Kind of, but I can barely hear you.
Can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
I'm right in front of my big wall of DVDs, although I never watched them. Let's see what I have here. I have the Bruce Springsteen MTV Unplugged concert, which wasn't unplugged, with the other band. I have, let's see, Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers doing the whole Last DJ album. Neil Finn, Sessions at West 54th. I have Rick Springfield live in Rockford.
Okay, I've seen that.
Bryan Adams live at Slane Castle.
Okay.
Bruce Springsteen live in Barcelona. Oh, I do have Huey Lewis in the News live at 25.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That I would like to see.
That's like the only, he also had a CD of that. It's the only CD of his I never bought.
Really, eh?
Yeah. And then I have Cheap Trick Silver, which was when they did this big 25th anniversary concert, and they did songs from at least one song off of every one of their albums that night.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I can bring them. And of course, Shaking with the Money Man.
You have that on DVD?
I do.
Oh, I'd come over now if I hadn't been drinking.
Well, you know what? When we hang out again next, I'll bring that over. We can watch it and we can review it.
We're gonna go Shaking with the Money Man together.
I had that album too. It was an album back then too.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I think he does that cool Eddie Money spin around move.
That's great.
Stay tuned, loyal listeners. There's more We Got the Geek still to come.
You're listening to the Points of Interest Podcast Network. You can find us at poipodcast.com. For the love of pod.
Don't kill me, man! Don't kill me! Don't kill me, man!
I'm not going to kill you. I want you to do me a favor. I want you to tell all your friends about me.
What are you?
I'm Batman.
Oh, you know what we should mention? Because I actually wrote it down first on my list here.
What?
So I woke up one day, and you had messaged me while I was sleeping. And you're like, well, the well in the house is burning down, so I'm listening to Frozen Ghost and Cheap Trick and the Jitters.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what are you talking about? And then I went on Facebook, and every single story that day was the well in the house was on fire.
Yeah.
It was kind of sad.
I'd say.
Like, we saw some good stuff there.
We did. And, I texted my brother, and he goes... And he said, oh, yeah, I used to go see strippers there when I was 15. I'm like, yeah, we all did.
We went to a buffet there the one day.
We went to a buffet. Buns with meat.
Oh, man. Well, yeah, I saw... did you ever see any other shows there besides those ones?
See what?
Like, any other shows besides those three? I saw
Chris Christopherson because it was ironically the same night as Waylon Jennings.
Oh, wow.
Christopherson played the Waylon House.
I remember when he played there.
Yeah, and it was and Laura from KFC went.
Oh, right.
And Chris LeGro, too.
Oh, jeez.
Anyway, and I was in New York watching Waylon and Willie, yeah.
Oh, wow.
I
saw Barney there once, too. I remember, did we see Frozen Ghost there a couple times, or?
Yeah.
Because I know they played a lot on that second album.
We did see a lot of stuff there.
The Jitters, and of course the Cheap Trick concert we keep talking about.
That we're totally deaf after.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think next time we're going to do the get-together.
Well, let's do it. I'll bring over the Yeti Money DVD.
Well, not only that, but I mean, it's better to see each other in person.
You know what? And that'll be a good recording because it'll be like a reunion.
It will. It's almost been a year now. Well, I know. And I was thinking, like, you could bring bring your Barney album over that I got you.
Yeah.
And I was thinking if we're sitting out around the back shed, I'll space it all out so we're socially distanced, but I'll bring the turntable out and we can play some vinyl in the background.
Play some Black Clouds.
Have a little Black Clouds. I was playing Josephine not too long ago, and you're the inspiration.
Yeah.
I remember when I made my own mix of that because I loved the piano at the beginning of it.
Yeah.
You remember that?
I do, actually. And I think you had, what was the other song off that album? House of Love is Haunted.
Yeah, House of Love, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just downloaded that album last week, too. And bunch of old stuff that we used to listen to that the kids nowadays wouldn't understand.
No, definitely not. They don't get the legendary heart stuff like we did. All right, you know what I got to ask you? You brought this up the other night. So you said you were listening to Mellencamp circa 79 to 83?
Yeah.
So I was able to listen to the Cougar album and Nothing Matters, and then I skipped ahead to Uh-Huh, which I haven't listened to any of those albums in a long time, so it was cool to hear them again. What were the jokes that you remembered?
Okay, give me a sec. First track of Nothing Matters. I don't know if you remember this. Remember when John used to work at Eddie's?
Yeah.
Okay. So we were walking past the Burger King going there, and we were listening to it, I think, on one of our Walkmans. And all of a sudden, it was Hot Night in a Cold Town, right?
Yeah.
Okay, the first, track off the album, and then the lock goes, John has got some change in his pocket. And I went, I hope so, because I'm hungry.
Yeah.
That was Eddie's.
I remember that.
Yeah. And what was the other one? Well, the Innocent Laughter was, of course, for this time.
Yeah, and Rick Rose. Yeah.
And,
Cougar.
I said Cougar. That's good old Booker. But I don't know. I can't help that. I listen to old songs and I just think the jokes that we used to make. And
yeah.
It's comforting.
No, you're right.
But I liked, I'm trying to think of what I liked off of what I did. Let me see. Okay. First of all, there was another part, I don't know why John came walking out of a bathroom one night. Slapping his other hand, going, small paradise. Everything's all right with you. And so I can't get past not listening to that song. So I listened to the whole first album except for I Need a Lover.
Yeah. Because you can still hear that a million times a day on the radio.
Little Night Dance and Small Paradise. I love that album because I remember where I was when I first started listening to that. So that was a good album.
Yeah.
I loved Nothing Matters, and then I went on to American Fool, but really not too much, Jeff. I listened to Weakest Moments. I listened to, Danger List?
Yeah.
And, yeah, I liked those, and I listened to Close Enough and stuff, and then I went on to Uh-Huh and listened to Loving Mother for You. Play guitar is still a kick-ass guitar song.
I can still live without Jackie O.
Yeah, I still can.
I forgot about Warmer Place to Sleep, which is still a great song.
Yeah, I just downloaded that. I had that one as well. And then cut it off before Scarecrow, because I don't need to hear anything from there anytime soon. Like, there's a lot of songs on Scarecrow I like. I don't need to say on that one.
Yeah.
But I've listened to them a lot. Like, I probably listen to, like, Minutes to Memories and shit like that.
Yeah.
And, but nothing that was really, more commercial there. I liked, and then if I went to Big Daddy, I'd probably pull off Mansions in Heaven.
Yeah.
I liked that tune. And I don't mind, sometimes Great Notion. Anyway, I'm going to shut up about Cougar, but really, I'm done with them. Huh?
Why are you going to shut up about it?
I thought he was trying to go back to being a little more trashy with whatever we wanted.
Yeah.
And I liked some stuff on that, but...
Okay, do you have, any way of taking this down?
Pardon?
Do you have any way of writing or taking this down? I'm going to give you three songs of his to listen to.
Well, they just passed them to me.
What's that? Oh, okay.
Yeah, I can do that later.
There's
because
in the I'm finding with him in the last 15 years or so, he's kind of become sort of like his albums are sort of like folk songs with some rock and roll in it.
Okay.
I'm going to give you three songs to listen to. One of them's called Longest Days, which is Bob Dylan's favorite Mellencamp song.
Okay.
And then there's a song called Troubled Man, which is one of my favorite songs by him.
Okay.
Yeah, because I know you guys kind of stopped listening to him after a while. I stuck with him. He's one of those guys, we were talking like the last time about how, you know, Rick Springfield and Cheap Trick keep putting out albums, and maybe they have one or two good songs on an album. I kind of feel the same way about him.
Fair enough.
And I'm sorry, I'm super excited that Springsteen's going to be on his next album.
Is he?
Yeah, they recorded two songs together.
Oh, that's another thing I wanted to mention to you. That's kind of cool. You know what's funny? I saw a thing pop up on my computer the other day about John Mellencamp saying that he got a call from Billy Joel.
Yeah, I saw that.
I started thinking about it. I was going to go, well, how about when he started banging Christy Brinkley? Did he phone back? Way to go, John. I like that little number you're doing.
I'm sure he gave him his blessing.
I'm sure he did. He's still with Meg Ryan.
I have no idea.
Because I thought they were married or something.
You saw the picture I sent a couple weeks ago. He's looking like a super old dude now.
Oh, well, yeah, I know. He's part of, like, I don't know.
And in his latest albums and stuff, you can tell the cigarettes have taken a toll on him.
Oh, well, I thought he was supposed to quit like 25 years ago and they told him to.
No, he never did.
Oh, well.
All right, I'm gonna send you like a couple songs by him from the later years that you might like. Like I can't think of any specific whole albums for you to listen to.
Me neither. Like I listen to Cutting Heads, and I listen to.
I don't
a
like
bunch
that one.
Well, I listen to a bunch of them, and then they became kind of flighty for me. Like, don't get me wrong. It's like you and I will sit there and talk all night too. Maybe 10 of the jokes out of 20 work really, really good between us. But you know what? At the end of the night, there's those other 10. So what are we gonna criticize ourselves because they weren't successful? You know, you got to put out what you're doing, right?
No, true. And
so I don't mean to give him the gears, but he just kind of lost it for me. He didn't strike that chord. And a lot of artists go through that, like. Colin Hay went through a huge period, and then all of a sudden he comes out with an album like Fierce Mercy, which touched me really, really closely. Like,
yeah, I hear you.
That the Crowded House bumps, so they just strike a chord, right? So I mean,
and I got to tell you, I've never heard you more excited about a Cheap Trick album in a long time.
Well, I love it, and like it makes me feel good too. That I don't know people that we grew up with are still putting out good shit. Like, I talked to my aunt in Scotland, what was I going to say, about a week and a half ago?
Mm-hmm.
This is a little off topic, but she's like 92, right?
Right.
And she's won all the awards for crafts and all this shit. And knitting and doing all this stuff. Like, she's really, really artsy.
Mm-hmm.
So, she got this award from Scotland. She does this thing where she knits sleepers for premature babies.
Okay.
Okay. And it's the oldest women in Scotland sewing for the youngest. So the preemies are getting all the ones from the seniors, so she's been doing that. And she got this award, and she goes, so I'm 92 years old, and I'm still putting out good product. So I'm like, I don't know, it's just a different way of thinking. Like,
no, it's really cool.
When you're good at something, just keep doing it, keep doing it. Like, I don't know, wish I could. I think that's why you and I admire it so much, because I think it's something that, like, I could never go into that lifestyle or whatever. I'd be dead right away, right, from excess.
Right.
But it's the admiration of somebody that can do it. I guess it's like a hero thing, right? It's like a superhero thing.
Right.
You know, this is what you want to accomplish and someone else can do it. And it's like, that's how I see a lot of music. Like, I just wish, I don't understand how they can feel so deeply to be able to write like that, like to play my heartstrings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know, it's weird.
No, I hear you.
But sometimes you just hear like a line or, you know, like I find that a lot with Crowded House, like one of the songs that means a lot to me is Into Temptation, right?
Yeah, of course.
And then especially that one line, just the way he says it, where he says, you turn to me for half a second.
Yeah.
With an open invitation.
Mm-hmm.
You call it temptation, right? And it's just like half a second, like it's almost non-existent, but I know what he means. Like, yeah.
I gotta tell you, it did my heart a little good that you discovered some other songs off Woodface.
You know which one, did I tell you which one I love the most?
Was it Italian Plastic?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a great song. I love Woodface. Was the last one they did with Mitchell Froom.
Yeah.
As the producer. Give,
you know
give Together, what the hell was it called? Together Alone?
Yeah.
Give that one another chance.
I have. Yeah, I've listened to all of them.
Yeah, like I love the first four albums they did with Paul Hester.
I'm really liking Mitchell Froom's influence, actually.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, considering Temple of Romance, like one of my favorite albums of all time.
Yeah, that's my favorite by them.
I see how he's doing with this new one.
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, it's perfect. I heard it described as somebody had said, Crowded House, if you Google it, like on Wikipedia or something,
yeah.
Crowded was one of the best vehicles for the iconic music of Neil Finn.
Yeah.
That's
that
how
makes
I
sense.
So I'm thinking, okay, he does what ends, he's done his own stuff, but there's just so many layers to his music.
Yeah.
And the sounds and the harmonies. Like, I don't know if you... One of my favorite albums is Out of Silence. Are you familiar with it?
Yeah, I'm still trying to get into that one.
Okay.
I was only ever able to get into two as a solo albums.
Okay. Okay, then if you're sending me three songs, I'll send you three Neil Finn songs that I want you to listen to again.
All right, deal. It's a deal.
All right. So... That's cool.
It is a deal. No, you played me. I think you played some of that for me when we were driving around going to those concerts.
A million days, and then I played a bunch.
And I liked them. I liked the songs. It's just, yeah, you know what I mean.
I do.
like I like him a lot, and I'll follow him on whatever he does. But I mean, so far, I've only been able to get into his first two solo albums.
That's okay.
Just like right now, I'm trying real hard, but I can't get into those two Crowded House albums they did in the 2000s.
I'm trying. I've found a couple songs. Like I've
said, yeah, no, there's some good stuff. But...
I'm looking for the hidden jewels, but it's not like I've given up. But and I don't belittle you for not liking the same songs as me.
No, I get it.
I sent Thomas a text today, and it was kind of funny. I haven't talked to him for a few days.
Right.
So I sent him the message was, this is how I wrote it. I wrote, just checking to make sure you are well. I said, and if you have out that you need to tell, you can call me. I'll be, what did I say, your peppy padre. I'd be your peppy old padre, Right. And then I left it, right? And he texted back. He goes, I got the reference, right? Like for Italian Plaza.
Yeah, I'll be your glass of water.
Yeah, a glass of water.
I'm glad you finally discovered that one. Like one of the few Paul Hester sung ones.
You know what the problem is? I drive regional now, right? Like the bus routes.
Right.
And I have a Bluetooth speaker.
Okay.
I have it on the bus all the time. So I got my phone all keyed onto it, and I've got the speaker on the dash just like I'm in my car, and I've got a plexiglass window, and I keep it down low enough, but I just play my own music all day, right?
Right.
When I get to a certain moment, when the bus is empty, I can turn the volume up, and it's a pretty good speaker. I don't know if you know any of them, but it's a JBL. It's a pretty good speaker.
Right.
And I can listen to the songs without distraction.
Right.
Because I'm on the bus by myself, right? So I can sing behind my little plexiglass enclosure, and it's great fucking acoustics.
Mm-hmm.
And I just play the music, and I can pick up shit that I don't normally pick it up, like, in a setting, like, more of the ambient stuff that you would pick up when you were just listening to it on headphones or something.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, listen to that beat or something that I didn't pick up before, and I start to rediscover new thoughts. Okay, this is what I was thinking about Farm Aid anyway, and I'm going to have to wind this up soon, man.
Yeah, no problem. I got to take the dog out soon, too.
Okay, so I'm thinking, okay, we're kind of charmed. We get to meet people and stuff like that. Just kind of happens for us sometimes. So I'm thinking, if it turns out we're vaccinated, mm-hmm. and we get a chance, let's just go there and just get tickets from there.
To where?
Farm Aid.
Yeah, I mean, if we're all vaccinated and we have passports and
it's like a week before and we go about Farm Aid next week,
yeah.
then either order some tickets from somebody who's selling them online, or maybe we just drive down.
As long as I got a passport, sure.
That's what I'm saying. Like, let's see if we're vaccinated first and see if we don't hit fourth waves. And as it gets closer,
yeah.
I don't think it's that long for passports, but it's something we could discuss anyway.
Yeah, for sure.
I'm not married to it. I'm just saying it's a pipe dream right now, but you never know. It could happen.
Yeah, I mean, I'm that'd be cool. I'm like, I'm keeping my eye on who's touring again, and not a lot happening in Canada yet.
No. Do you want me to draft some sort of, like, cheesy, like, kind of letter? Do you want to actually try for the Farm Aid contest?
Yeah, I mean, you could definitely try.
Okay, so do you want me to write something? And then,
sure.
And then I'll, I don't do computers and I'm lame, so what I'll do is, when I've actually drawn something, what I'll do is I'll take a picture of the letter and then I'll just, like, send it to you as a picture and then you can look at it, okay?
Okay.
But I'll find something and I'll try to, in my creative moments, if I have them, I'll see if we can do that, because that would be kind of cool, especially if you got it for free, eh?
Yes.
Hey, okay, well, we're here to cover it.
You know, we're on a nice little roll there before the pandemic.
That's what I'm saying. Like, wouldn't it be kind of cool if it turned out? Like, what do we got to lose, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, that's what I wanted to tell you, Jay.
Okay.
That's where I was going with the Born in the USA thing. I was listening. I got a playlist, and I got Chrissy Hynde on there doing I'll Stand By You.
Oh, it's a great song.
It is a great song, but it's funny. When you play it on Spotify and it comes up on your list, it says Chrissy Hynde and Bob Clearmountain.
Oh, jeez.
And I started, so when I saw that, I listened to Born in the USA, and then I started listening to the sound, and I started listening to the different types of recording that went into that. It's not a natural album.
No.
Like, if you listen to it, there's so much separate engineering on every instrument.
Mm-hmm.
It really is mixed very well, but it's not natural.
Right.
Like, I don't know.
No, I hear you.
Maybe he does it to bring out the most sound, because I noticed, like, Max's drums sound awesome.
Yeah.
It's so clear on that album. And, you know, I was remembering, I heard a great sax solo, and it was actually Bobby G.
Right.
Bobby G has got a great sax solo, and it's so clear.
Yeah.
But like I said, you don't, that's manufactured sound. You know what I mean? Like, it was so produced.
Yeah.
Like, I like the rawness of some of his other shit. This was very geared toward poppiness, right? And so I thought about that Chrissy Hynde song, and it's really, really well done. So I'm gonna look up Bob Clearmountain as an artist and see what he's put into it and see.
Yeah. Well, he worked on all the Huey albums and Bryan Adams and...
Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't know. It's just another avenue to check out, right?
Yeah, well, definitely. Because I think he had something to do with the Weather album, even.
Yeah, I should read the lack of liner notes on the inside.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that.
Bastard.
I'm pretty sure he worked on Weather, though.
He saw that response and said, Huey, eh?
Yeah.
That was great. Yeah, way to fuck us on the liner notes.
Aw, Huey.
Huey Capacity.
Oh.
Me and Johnny Cole are still born on the same day.
That's right. July 2nd. Oh, by the way, happy birthday. How is it?
It sucks.
No one cares, right? Like,
no, I was going to make you a fucking cake if you came over tonight.
Well, I was at your house on my birthday last year.
Yeah, well, I don't know, maybe. What day is your birthday? Sunday?
This would come in Monday.
Monday?
Okay. Yeah. My kid's real excited for it.
Really?
Yeah. Why, I'm not so much, but...
Why? Is he planning, like, a party with dancing girls?
I think he actually got me a present this year.
Two girls.
Mr. Angelino. No, that's Gene Travers.
Two girls.
Oh, you know what I wanted to bring up to you? I know you got to go and everything, but yeah. I'll quickly bring this up. So, by the way, rest in peace, Herb Tarlick. Since the last time we talked, I watched all of WKRP.
Okay.
And then I was like, well, I finished it, and I was like, I think there was a new WKRP, and I looked it up, and I remember back when that happened in the early 90s, I'd watched the first three episodes and then went out of town and missed the fourth episode, so I never went back to it.
Right.
So I went back to it now, and I was, like, dreading it. Wasn't too bad. Like, it was the same writers as the old show. Like, some of the new cast was annoying, but it was pretty funny. And I'm bringing this up now because there was an actor who played Arthur Carlson's son named Lightfield Lewis.
Okay.
Guess who his dad was?
Who?
The guy from Flo.
Oh, nice.
I looked it up, and I'm like, oh, my God, it's Juliet Lewis's brother, which means guy from Flo's son.
Oh, so the okay, good. The legend continues.
That's right.
All right, man. Well,
right.
Let's do this one really, really, really soon. Walk dog, and let's do this in person real quick.
Yes, thanks a lot for recording tonight. Again, like, you've given me tons to edit, but that's cool. I'm a good editor, and I'm happy to do it. Thank you for recording with me tonight. I really appreciate it.
Always a pleasure, my friend.
And, yeah, keep in touch. Like, if you want to hang out in the next week or so, I'm game. We can bring over a vinyl and listen to it and review it or whatnot.
That sounds cool. Let's just do that.
All right. Thanks, man.
All right. Okay, well, I'm going to sign off then.
All right, man. Well, thanks again for doing it, and we'll chat real soon, and thanks again.
All right, brother. Talk soon.
All right, brother. Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. To hear more We Got the Geek, check us out at www.wegotthegeek.com and on iTunes.